Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Lamed. We left off in Daf Chav Tes and Beis. We read the Mishnah yesterday at the beginning of the Perek, but we're up to the beginning of the Gemara now at the beginning of the Perek. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and it's also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Le'ili Nishmas, his father, Menachem Yitzchak ben Yaakov Yisrael, whose yard site is on Shabbos, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. I see Henry joining us from Eretz Yisrael, father's Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and should derive nachas from the entire family, so much of the family that's in Eretz Yisrael right now. It's also sponsored by the Virtual Halacha Program, which under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level and even get smicha whenever you can and wherever you are. Visit thehalacha.com for more information. So we just began yesterday the third parak of Maseches Sukkah, and someone noted just a moment ago that you switch from one art scroll to the next. It's like a new Masechta, and one Masifta to the next. It's a new Masechta, but it's also a new Masechta because we're switching from one topic to the next. Up until now, we've been talking about Sukkah, and now we're transitioning into the discussion of Lulav. So that's why we learned yesterday about a Lulav that is Guzzle and that is Yavesh, and the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that Yavesh and Guzzle are possible both on Yom Tov Rishon and on Yom Tov Sheni. And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of Mitzvah Baba Avera. What is the source for Mitzvah Baba Avera? And then we're going to quote the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds that you actually can be Yotze with the stolen lulav on Yom Tov Sheni, just not on Yom Tov Rishon, because apparently he rejects the principle of Mitzvah Baba Avera. And the Gemara is going to tell us the advice that was given to the salesman of Hadassim to avoid lachem problems with their merchandise, to avoid problems with the merchandise, that they shouldn't be a problem of not being lachem. So there was some advice given that was based on the principle of yeyush vishinoi rishos. The Gemara is going to have three different questions on that advice on Amud Beis, and we're going to answer each of those questions. So let's begin. Again, we're right after the Mishol. Actually, let's just revisit for a moment. We mentioned yesterday, lulav ha-gozul va-yavesh puzzle, and Rashi said, why is Yavesh puzzle? To be in on mitzvah muderes, tichsiv anveyu, because you need to have a hidur mitzvah based on zekeli va'anveyu. So since you don't have anveyu, that's why it's going to be puzzle. Tosos took issue with that, and Tosos said that umfarish b'gmar mishum diskus l'vashem tichsiv behadar, not from the broad principle of zekeli va'anveyu that applies to all mitzvahs, that every mitzvah has to be beautiful. No, something much more specific to Dalit Minim, Tosel says, that there's a din by Dalid Minim that it needs to be Hadar, but not based on Van Veyu. And Tosel's Raya is that it can't be based on Van Veyu, because Van Veyu is only a psul l'chadchila, but it doesn't possible to the Eved. If something lacks beauty, it lacks the that extra Hidur Mitzvah, then it's not going to ruin the Mitzvah. But over here we said, Lulav HaGozul VaYavesh puzzle, so it must be something that's makib at the Eved, and therefore must be a special din specifically over here that does not apply elsewhere, that does not apply to other mitzvahs. This is an interesting point. The Sefer Chasidim in Siman Tav Tav Ayin Tes writes that if a person writes a beautiful Sefer Torah and then he accidentally writes one daf that's not as nice as the other daf in one column or one page of the Sefer Torah that's not as nice as the others, it's kosher, it's just not as nice as the others. So it's like the Sefer Torah is menumar, it's like it's like a spotted Sefer Torah that you have nice parts and not nice parts. So the shaila is, if he wants to remove that daf and just take it out and replace it with a nicer daf in it to make the Sefer Torah consistently beautiful, so is that a violation of Bal Tashchis? So he says, no, it's Zekeli Va'anvehu. That's a Hidur Mitzvah, so you're allowed to be Mahader by making the Sefer Torah nicer. So in the Tshuvas Minchas Alazar, in Chelek Aleph, Simen Mem Aleph, he says that the Sefer Chasidim is only talking about a case where the Tofer HaYirios, the person who's sewing the columns with the parchments together before he was Tofer the Yiriyah, that is less Mehudar into the Sefer Torah, is making a decision. But if he was already Tofer the Yiriyah into the Sefer Torah, then you can't take it out because you're going to take away the Kedusha Sefer Torah, even though it's only momentarily. And certainly from that which you're taking out, you're going to remove the Kedusha Sefer Torah from that lone Yiriyah that you're taking out. Even though in a Chinami you're enhancing enhancing the hiddur, but you're ruining the mitzvah, you're ruining the kedusha of the Sefer Torah that Uriah had. So the poskim suggests maybe that's talui in this machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Is the din of zakeli vanveyu midaraisa, or is it midrabanan? Because our Mishnah said a little bit of ish is possible. Rashi said the reason is you need mitzvah mudara zakeli vanveyu. So it turns out zakeli vanveyu is a din minatorah, and because the psul yavish is a psul minatorah, but Tosos says that the psul is something specific by Asrog. It's a din of hadar because zakeli vanveyu would not possible with the evidence. Why does it not possible with the evidence? Because it's only a psul midrabanan. So that's how the poskim understand that the machlokas of Rashi and Tosos is not only whether it possible with the evidence, but that's based on whether it's a psul daraisa or a psul drabanan. So according to Tosos, that zakeli vanveyu is only psul midrabanan, the pasuk is only in a smachta. Meaning, how could you say it's psul drabanan? Zakeli vanveyu is a pasuk because the pasuk is yashir. No, you would say that the pasuk is only in a smachta. The pasuk has nothing to do with the mitzvah really. So that's how the Shagas Aryeh points out in a tshuva. So those who hold zakeli vanveyu is daraisa, that chiv would be docha the psul of that extra urea, and you'd be allowed to cut it out. But if you hold that the din of zakeli vanveyu is only drabanan like Tosos, then that din of zakeli vanveyu is not going to be docha the isra being morid the kedusha of that urea. So that's based on that Rashi and Tosos yesterday. That's a discussion that some of the poskim had. So let's see the Gemara now. So kapasik v'tani lo shal biyamtav rishon lo shal biyamtav sheni. The Mishnah just said that a lulav agazel was pasul, and it didn't make a distinction between the first day of yamtav and all the subsequent days of yamtav. So bishlami yavesh hadar biinan v'leka. I understand why a dried out lulav is going to be pasul throughout yamtav because the lulav has to be beautiful and you lack beauty in yavesh. El gazel bishlami yamtav rishon d'chsiv lachem misha lachem el yamtav sheni amay lo. Well, when it comes to a dried out, when it comes to a stolen lulav, rather, so it's, the problem is that it's not yours. So not yours, that's a problem on Yom Tov Rishon. On Yom Tov Sheni, what's going to be the problem with a stolen lulav? Meaning, the problem of Yavesh is a problem that's universal, that's equal to all the days of Yom Tov. It's a lack of Hidur, and we require Hadar throughout all the days of Yom Tov. But the problem of Gazul is that it's not yours. Lachem is only a problem on the first day of Yom Tov. So why is it that the Mishnah assumes that a lulav agazel is possible throughout the rest of the days of Yantav as well? Tosos questions the assumption. Right, we're making the assumption that Lechem only applies on Yom Tov Rishon. Why do we make that assumption that Lechem only applies on Yom Tov Rishon? Because the Pasuk says, Lekachtem Lechem v'yom HaRishon. But we're going to assume that Hadar applies equally to all days of Yom Tov. That because it says Hadar, that's why Yavesh is Pasuk, and that's true for all days of Yom Tov. Remember that Pasuk? Lekachtem Lechem v'yom HaRishon. What are the next few words? Creates Hadar. Why would you assume that the Lachem part of the Pasuk is connected to Biyom HaRishon, but the Priates Hadar part of the Pasuk is not connected to Biyom HaRishon? So says, is it because whatever comes before the words Biyom HaRishon, that's only Biyom HaRishon, and whatever comes right after is not unlikely? So Tosos works on that issue. If you look in the last few lines of the page in Tosos, Lekach nireh dahainu taimim mishum diyom rishon da'oraisu begvulin v'shar yomi d'rabanan zecha l'migdash k'nisa b'reish lulav ha'arava. He says that we know that the mitzvah da'oraisa of taking lulav is only on day one of Yom Tov outside of the Mikdash. Hilkach be'ikar alakicha kigon dalin minim alakicha l'kal echad tikun b'shar yomei ke'ein da'oraisa. So the other days were misakin ke'ein da'oraisa when it's fundamental to the mitzvah, to the ikar l'kicha. V'chein b'hadar mishum hidur mitzvah. And hidur is in that category. Aval b'chaser u'b'sha'ul lo tikun u'b'gazul plukta d'shmaitin. When it comes to chaser and sha'ul, that's not fundamental. That's not the part of the ikar taking of the ikar alakicha of the dal minim, and therefore they were never gozer ke'ein da'oraisa. Okay, you got to work on it. The Rishonim work on this problem that why you would assume one word in the pasuk only applies to Yom Rishon, and the other word in the pasuk applies throughout all the days. But working with that assumption, the Gemara asks this kasha. Now, why is it? I understand very well that Yavesh is going to be puzzled throughout. But why in the world would Guzzle be puzzled throughout? It's only a problem of Lechem. Lechem is only a problem on Yom Rishon. So I'm Rabbi Yochum, Mishum, Rabishum, Benichai, Mishum, Dahavale, Mitzvah, Ba'avera. The problem is that it's a Mitzvah, Ba'avera, meaning throughout Yom Tov, you're right, there's no issue of a Sha'ul, of a borrowed Lulav throughout Yom Tov. But a stolen Lulav is an additional problem of Mitzvah, Ba'avera. If you look at the top Tosos, V'adtanya L'kaman, Perek Lulav, Arava, Lechem, Misho, Lechem, Lotzi, Es HaShol, Ves HaGozul, Mishum Shol, Es Shrichu, Diblav Lechem, Nafkulam, Gozul, Mishum Mitzvah, Ba'avera. Why is it that the Gemara says, from the word Lechem, we learn that you can't use a borrowed or a stolen Lulav. I don't need Lechem to tell me not to use a stolen Lulav. I only need Lechem to tell me not to use a borrowed Lulav. The Gemara says right here that we have a much more fundamental reason to passel a stolen Lulav, and that is because it's Mitzvah Baba Avera. So that's what Tosos points out. He then says a little bit further, Vim Tomer Lekaman, the Pasil Lulav Shalashev, Shalim Dachas, Mishum Demechta Shiurei. Meaning, once we apply this principle of Mitzvah Baba Avera, why is it that the Gemara later on is going to say, oh, you know why you're not allowed to use a lulav shel asherah or a lulav of nir and idachas? Because it's kitusei mechtas shiurei. Since it's supposed to be destroyed, it's as if it's already destroyed, and therefore it's lacking the shear. Why do you have to say that? Just say Mitzvah Baba Avera. V'su'a ma'asherin and delav asherah demosha. And not only that, there are certain asherahs that we even allow. So how could that be? Mitzvah Baba Avera. So Tosa suggests an important yisod, a mitzvah baba avera, v'yeshlomer to l'odami l'gezel, the machmas averas ha-gezel ba'a ha-mitzvah she-yotze bo. Avalani yotu machmas averas nasbo mim inafik bay. Tos says, mitzvah baba avera is only when the mitzvah is enabled by the avera. It's only because you did the avera that you now have access to the mitzvah, that you now have the ability to do the mitzvah. But, and that's true, if you steal the lulav, you wouldn't have it if you didn't steal it, so you wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah. So that's a mitzvah baba avera. But a person bows down to a palm tree and it turns it into an asherah tree. Had that person never bowed down to the palm tree, I still would have been able to use the lulav from the palm tree. There was nothing about the avera that enables the mitzvah. So that's what says a big yisod in terms of the parameters of mitzvah baba avera. Other rishonim write in the Bali Atos that the psul of mitzvah baba avera is does not apply to all mitzvahs of the Torah. Meaning Tosfos writes Dibur Masam Lishum that even though the pasuk, the part of Tosfos we skipped, that even though the pasuk is only about a korban, we learn it from we learn to other mitzvahs as well. That every mitzvah in the Torah should have the same basic svara that you can't do a mitzvah baba avera. Other rishonim disagree and say the Ritva and others say the mitzvah baba avera is only by a korban, by lulav, by things that you use in tefillah, in shevach of a kodesh baruch hu. But stam regular mitzvos are not included in the psul of mitzvah baba avera. That it's only a mitzvah shel ritzui that we would apply mitzvah baba avera. Only something that's used in direct, when one addresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly rather than just fulfills that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do. There is an interesting ha'ara that the Kaftar of Aferach has. He says, you know, there's a little known halacha, Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis, that tells us that you're not allowed to make ginos u'pardesim b'Yerushalayim. Somewhat counterintuitive. You think you want to beautify Yerushalayim as much as possible. So the Gemara says they would bring the peros ginos at Yerushalayim. They'd have the nicest fruits that they would spread out the Shas HaRegel in Yerushalayim to be ma'ater shuke Yerushalayim, that the shuk should look beautiful with all of these beautiful peros. But to actually plant ginos u'pardesim is a problem, and the Tosefta says this way, and the Rambam paskens this way, and Beis HaBechira Perek Zayin Halacha Yudalit. And the reason is because apparently it invites a lot of weeds to grow, and you have to be ochre them in a place where there are ginos and ilanos, and you throw them out, so it just will turn ugly apparently when you have ginos u'pardesim in Yerushalayim. So the Kaftar Ferach said, okay, so if that's true, then you can't take a lula from a palm tree that was grown, that grows in Yerushalayim, because it should be a mitzvah ba'avera. They were only able to grow such a palm tree because they planted, you're only able to get that lulav because you took from a palm tree that was planted ba'avera. And he says, L'chora, who had been by the other dalad minim as well, the other three of the dalad minim as well, that according to the Kaftar of Ferach, you can't take his mitzvah ba'avera. And the Radvaz says, I agree in principle. I agree in principle to the Kaftar of Ferach. It's just that the Isra being Magadal Ilanos B'Yerushalayim is only Bisman Shalva. Vasa Shirushalayim. It's only when Yerushalayim is functioning with the Beis HaMikdash, Bizman HaMikdash Eina Chinami. They couldn't take Dalad Minim that grew in Yerushalayim. But Bizmanenu, that Yerushalayim is Nesuna B'Yagayim, says the Radvaz, when he was writing. So there's no Isser of Gidul Ilonos B'Yerushalayim, and therefore you could be Yotzei the Chiyuv with that which grows in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Maru Ktzian, Simtaf Reish Memei, says he doesn't understand what they're talking about. How could the Kaftar Verch Radvaz say such a thing? He says, even Bizman Beis HaMikdash, the Dalad Minim that grow in Yerushalayim would not be possible, because the Isser of planting trees in Yerushalayim is not an Isser Cheftza on the Ilonos that grow in Yerushalayim that turn into a Cheftza Shel Isser. It's an Isser Gavra, that you're not supposed to do the planting in plantings like this in Yerushalayim because of Kavod HaMikdash. So since there's no Isser in the Minim themselves, you can't pass the Mishum Mitzvah Bav Aver. What he's alluding to is what seems to be another important Yisrael of the Mitzvah Bav Aver. The Mitzvah Bav Aver means that one cannot take an item which is a Cheftza Shel Avera and use it as a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. But if the item itself is not a Cheftza Shel Avera to begin with, then there is no Isher of Mitzvah Bav Avera. Meaning that's a Mitzvah Bav Avera is a din in the Cheftza, that when you have something that's labeled as a Cheftza Shel Avera, then it's considered disrespectful and inappropriate to use it as a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. But if you're not talking about a Cheftza at all, not something that's not a Cheftza Shel Avera B'chlal, then it would not be a violation of Mitzvah Bav Avera. So anyway, back in the Gemara, second line from the top of the page, Shenemar, how do I know that there's such a din of Mitzvah Bav Avera? Because it says in Pasuk, Ve'vesim gozul v'sapiseach v'sachola, that people thought they were doing a good thing by bringing these karbanos, and they were bringing all these karbanos that were subpar, these sickly animals and these stolen animals, and gozul dum yudipiseach. So the fact that it says a lame animal and a stolen animal in the same breath, we learn that the two are similar in some other way. Ma'piseach l'sei takanta, avgozul l'sei takanta. Just like a lame animal that we're talking about must be an animal that can't be fixed because there's no way to fix a lame animal, so too a gozul is l'sei takanta. It doesn't matter whether the bailim, the original bailim, was miyayish from it or not, whether he had given up hope of ever retrieving it. Either way, it's going to be problematic because of mitzvah bav aveira. So says Rav Bishlam l'fneiyish. I understand before the bailim is miyayish from it. Adam kiakrav mikem amarachman avlad didehu. When you bring a carbon, you have to bring your carbon, and it's not your carbon if the guy hasn't been miyayish from it, because there is such a thing called kinyane gezela, that when a person steals something, you owe the money, you got to pay it back, and there's a mitzvah veheshev as a gezela. But as far as bailus, as far as who it belongs to, it becomes yours in a certain sense, in an unfavorable sense, meaning if an onus happens to it, gets struck by lightning, you still have to pay it back. You can't say, oh, I'm sorry, your item got destroyed and it was a total onus or something. No, you still have to, it's yours. But you have kinyane gzela on it. But even those kinyane gzela only happen when there's a yeyush. So I understand before there's yeyush, I can't possibly be yotze with it. It's not mine. I don't even have kinyane gzela. Ela achar yeyush hakanya b'yeyush. But after yeyush, so then I was kona with yeyush. The fact that the guy gave up hope means that I have kinyanim in it. So what would be the problem with using a stolen karban or lulav after Yeush, Allah Mishum Davle Mitzvah Bav Avera? Must be because it's still a Cheftza Shel Avera, and since it's a Cheftza Shel Avera, it's going to be a violation of a Mitzvah Bav Avera. Va'amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rav Shem Ben Yechai. My Dechsev, what is the Pasuk referring to when it tells us, Ki Ani Hashem Oev Mishpat, Sonei Gezel Ba'Ola? That Hashem says, I don't want you bringing stolen karbanos, a stolen karban ola. I have a sinna for Gezel in a karban ola. So Mashal Melech Pasuk V'Dam Shei Over Al Beis HaMechas. It's like if you have a king that's going through the toll booth. He's going through where they collect the tolls. So Amar La'Avadav Tnu Mechas L'Mochsim. So he says to the Avadim, go pay the tolls. Meaning the Avadim who are traveling with him, so the whole motorcade is coming through, and as the presidential motorcade is coming through, he tells all the drivers in the motorcade, you got to pay the tolls before we go over the bridge. So Amar lo, v'alo kalamechas kulo shelchahu. What do you mean? It's you own it. It's your bridge. So, and where do you think all that money's going? Isn't that somewhat inconvenient to take the money, give it to them just so that they can give it back to you later? Just keep it in the first place. What
do you have to go through that? So Amalem, many Yilmadu call of Redrachim Valyavrichman Minameches, that I want other people to learn from me. They're gonna see that even the king pays the meches, and therefore other people will do, because this is standard behavior. This is what you're supposed to do. So Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu Amar Ani Hashem Son against the Ba'ullah. So same with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, I don't want stolen korbanos. Stolen korbanos, they all belong to you anyway. What difference does it make? You're the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mimeni Yilmadu Banav Yavrich Ratzman Min HaGezel. And that way my children will learn from me. Klal Yisrael will learn from me. They'll be Mavriach themselves from Gezel. The Achronim raised the question, why did they have to bring Mitzvah Ba'Avera from another source? We already learned from the first pasuk that there's a din of mitzvah ba'aveira. Meaning, what we seem to be saying over here is that from the pasuk of Ki Ani Hashem Oiv Mishpat Son against El Ba'ola, we see a din of mitzvah ba'aveira. That you're not allowed to bring a korban that is a stolen korban. We already said mitzvah ba'aveira. We said Viyavesim Gazal Asipisach Vesachola. We already had a din of mitzvah ba'adam Kiakrim Mikem. So why do I need two sources? So the Aruch Haner says from the first pasuk you would have thought that mitzvah ba'aveira is only psulled by a korban when there's achila lahedyot or lekohen, when someone gets to eat the carbon. But a mitzvah that a person gets no hana from whatsoever, like a carbon ola or a lulav, you would think would be kosher, because it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anyway. Meaning, since I'm not getting anything out of it, it all goes straight to Hashem. How could you say that it's a problem of stolen? Hashem owns everything. So that's why I need the second source to tell me that even if a person gets no benefit from it, even if there's no hana for a human being from it, nevertheless, it's still included in mitzvah baba avera. So and that's why the Marsha explains. That's why the Gemara Dafka, the Gemara is understanding that the Pasuk Dafka spoke about a carbonola, Sonny Gezel Ba'ola. Right? You're not Sonny Gezel by every other carbon? No, but Dafka gives an example of a carbonola where there's no human benefit from a carbonola. I saw in the Sefer one, someone wanted a taina that this Gemara might be a source for the for copyright laws. So how could it be a source for copyright law? That you're not allowed to benefit, you're not allowed to take music that I produced, or something, a book that I produced, even though you're not stealing anything tangible from me. Because if I invest money in something to be able to make this infrastructure, I have a right to charge you a meches. I have the right to charge you to be able to use it. So even though it's, you could say, Zenenev Zelo Chaser, what do you mean? The person is not taking the bridge. He's just walking over the bridge. Nechitesi, that I'm allowed to charge him for walking over the bridge, because if I invested a lot of money in building the infrastructure, I could charge you for it. It's not an exact dimion, because over here there is something physical. Meaning I could tell you that you want to live in my property, you want to live in my house, I could charge you rent for that. So over here there's an actual physical structure. So I could tell you that I'm going to charge you rent for that, even without copyright law. So it's not necessarily a great raya to intellectual property, to the concept of intellectual property in halacha. Because over here it's real property, it's not intellectual property. Zitmanami, Amraviyami, Yavish Pasul Nesha Ein Hadar. The Yavish is considered pasul because it lacks hadar. Gazel pasul mishum davle mitzvah b'avera. Stolen lulav is pasul because of mitzvah b'avera. Upligad Rabbi Yitzchak, but you should know that this goes against Rabbi Yitzchak, says the Gemara. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak told us that Dam Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni Amar Shmuel lo shanu el biyom tov rishon, abli yom tov sheni mitoch sheyotzi b'shaul yotzi nami b'gazel. That in yom tov sheni, after the first day of yom tov is over, you can even use a stolen lulav. Meaning he doesn't think that there's a problem of mitzvah b'avera. So Masrav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak lulav v'gazel v'yavish pasul hashaul kasha. But wait a second, didn't we learn in our that a stolen or dried out lulav is pasul, and the implication is that when a stolen lulav is pasul, a borrowed lulav would be kasher. Otherwise, we should have said the perek should be called lulav hagazel, should be called lulav hashaul. The fact that we said lulav hagazel is pasul implies that a shaul is kasher. What day is that? When is it that you may not use a gazel, but you may use a shaul? Meaning, if you, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel, are going to say that a lulav hashaul is that a lulav hagazel rather is only pasul on Yom Rishon, Yom Tov Rishon, just like a lulav hashaul. So when is there ever going to be a day where a shaul is kasher and a gazel is pasul? Emas ilem of Yom Tov Rishon. If it's the first day of Yom Tov, haksiv lachem yishal lachem by lav didayu, then both are going to be pasul for sure, because it says lachem, it needs to belong to you, and neither a shaul nor a gazel belongs belongs to you. So they would both be possible. Elalav, what would be the day where a gazel is possible but a shatl is kosher? Yom Tov Sheni, you must be talking about after the first day of Yom Tov, the Katani gazel possible, and it says that a gazel is possible. So how, again, could Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel suggest that a gazel is kosher after Yom Tov Rishon? Samar Rava, Liolam B'Yom Tov Rishon. Maybe he really is talking about Yom Tov Rishon. Aye, but how can you say in Yom Tov Rishon that a shatl is kosher? It didn't say a shatl is kosher. It just said that a gazel is possible. We made a deal, and we thought, oh, if you're telling me that a gazel is possible, you must be telling me that a shatl is kosher. Maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah doesn't mention shatl because it's obvious that shatl is going to be possible, that a bar lulav is going to be possible, because it's not yours. But there is such a thing called kinyanik zela. So I might think that since there's a yeish bailim, you have been koneid and it becomes yours. We treat it like yours. So kamash malan, therefore, he has to tell us that that's not the case. So what does it mean? Kamash malan says Rashi, dad shamin the yeish lo kani lei. That until you know for sure that this guy has been miyayish, you are not the rightful owner, you have not been kone. That you can assume that the guy is thinking that that right now he took it from me, but tomorrow I'm going to take him to Din Torah and I'm going to get it back. So Rav Huna lahanu avankri. Rav Huna said to the avankri, to the people who were salesmen of hadasim. Rashi writes avankri are tigri kol davar. Avankri means people who sell little things. Not lavdafka hadasim. They sell lavdafka lulavim. They sell little, all sorts of little trinkets. Let's talk about whatever they can sell to make a buck. Kion kelim ketanim machtin masrikos. Lulavin, meaning one of the things that they sell are lulavin, but they sell needles and whatever, you know, anything that they can sell. So Rav Huna would tell, would instruct these avankri, kizavnisu asu me'akum, when you buy hadasim from Abde Kuchavim, lo tigzuzu atun, you should not be the ones to cut them down from the tree. Let them be the ones to cut them down from the tree, and then they will give it to you. Meaning, don't let them tell you, okay, you're buying X number of hadasim, go to the field and cut down as many as you want. Don't do that. Ask them to do the cutting down from the field, and only then can you take it. So, my time, why would he give them such an unusual instruction? So, Stam of the Chavim Gazlani Arasininu. Because the assumption is that Stam of the Chavim, where did they get that land? That land, you have to assume, is stolen. The Karka ain't an exelus. And the halacha is that there's no kinyan gzela on Karka. So, Hilkach, Lugzua Inhu, Kechda Vyeush Bailin Biadayu Ditu, Vishina Rishus Biadaihu. Let them do the Maisa Gzela by actually cutting it off. By cutting it from the ground, so that's where you're going to have a yeish bailim while they have it in their hands. And then, if you have a yeish bailim and then a shina rishos, then it goes to the next party. Now you have perfect kinyan egzela, but it has to happen in that order. The bailim has to be miyayish, followed by a shina rishos. If you were to cut it down yourself, so the yeish is only going to happen once it's already in your hands. So there's not going to be a shina rishos after the yeish, and therefore you're not going to be the rightful owners of those hadasim. The only way to guarantee that you're the rightful owner of the hadasim is if they cut the hadasim. There will then the yeish will happen on the spot. And then the shina rishus will happen when they give it to you. Now, stam of the chavim gazlani arasin, in Rashi writes, stam akum are gozle karkaos, and we have to be choshesh. Rashi adds that who were they gozel the karka from? Mi Yisrael, right? Rashi says, my time, if you look in the Dibra Maskel in the bottom Rashi, my time is stam akum gazle arasin, mi Yisrael ninu. Vishema oso karka, mi Yisrael hava. That you have to be choshesh that maybe that's that karka, not just the stolen karka, but that it was stolen from Jews. But if it was stolen from a Nachri, since he was miyayish from it, it's hefker biyad Yisrael, and even if the Yisrael was tolish it, you could be yotzei yechiyuv with it, even though you yourself picked it from the ground. So the Acharim were all bothered by Rashi, because the din is that gezel akum is aser. So what's nafkamina? Whether they stole it from Yisrael or they stole it from an akum, either way, it's aser. There's a halacha, gezel akum is aser. Not only that, if you learn Baba Kama, Kufyud Gimel, where we talk about gezel akum, Rav Huna is the balmeimah. He's the one that says that gezel akum is aser. So Rav Huna is going to be the one giving the instructions. Oh, because they stole it from a Jew? Well, it doesn't matter who they stole it from. They steal it from a Jew or a non-Jew. You have the same problem. So in the Tshuva Shara Ephraim, he writes that Rashi, Masechah Sanhedrin, and Zayin Amal writes, that Gez Lakum is Mutter Mikra Din, it's only Yasser Mishum Chil Hashem. I mean, everyone agrees that it's us. The question is in this Daraisa or is in this Drabana? Is it only Yasser Mishum Chil Hashem or is it fundamentally Yasser? So by the Avadikri, there's no Chil Hashem because the Gazlan himself told you to take it. And Rav Huna only Yasser Midrabana and the Pasuk is Nasmach the Bialma. So that's what he suggests, that this is working within such a Shita that Gez Lakum is only Mishum Chil Hashem. In the Shara Melech, he quotes from Sefer Yom Trua that even if Gezel Gai is Asir, someone who steals from him is Kona be Yeyush alone. You don't need Yeyush and Shina Rishos. Meaning it's true, Gezel Akum might be in Isidoraisa, but the rules of Kinyane Gezela when it comes to Gezel Akum might be different. The din that you require, Yeyush and Shina Rishos, may only be when you're a Gozel Mi Yisrael. And the third possibility, Magen Avram writes in Simitav Reish Lamed Zayin, that even though Gezel Akum is Asir, there's no Mitzvah Babaveira by Gezel Akum, that for some reason you wouldn't have a violation of Mitzvah Babaveira when it comes to Gezel Akum. In the Chubas HaRashba, in Chedek Aleph, Simtav Tov Kuf Samachaz, he says, how could the Avankri be Kona from the Yakum at all? You're not allowed to steal stolen items. I mean, if someone is approaches you and with something that's obviously stolen goods, and he offers you an impossibly good deal, you're not allowed to buy that stuff. You're not allowed to take something. You're not allowed to buy something that you know to be stolen. So the Rashba writes, it can't be that you know it to be stolen. When we say stam, that these stam people are gazli arasininu, it doesn't mean that it's a rove. It means that there's a chashash. And therefore, we try to be choshesh. But there's no way to tell. Meaning, if there was some way to tell, if some guy is selling you, something that's obviously stolen items, designer bags or whatever, Rolexes, or I mean, those are fake. But if some guy is selling you, so then you know that it's a stolen item. The fake ones might be stolen, but then you know that it's a stolen item, and then you're for sure not allowed to buy it. It's interesting. The Riff, the Ram, and the Rush, and the Beis Yosef don't bring this whole din. So the Achronim are bothered by that, meaning it's a Beferish and Gemara. How do you not bring the din? So Pnei Yeshua writes that in Sechas Gittin, we say that let's leave Pnei Yeshua. The Taz writes that din maybe was only where Rav Huna lived in Bavel, because it was Rov Yisrael, so it was Huchsak that the Nachum Estama were Gozel the Karkam Yisrael. But in other places, we're not Choshish for it, and therefore it's not something that's brought Lidoros as a din Lidoros, because it's not something that applied throughout the generations. It had a very limited application. Now, we mentioned along the way over here that Karka is Einan Exelis, that you can't steal Karka. So why is it that Yeush doesn't work for Karka? I mean, we're saying that the Yeush is only going to work once you've detached it from the ground. So Pnei Yeshua explains that since Karka is Einan Exelis, it's always considered to be Bereshus HaGazlan. So the Bailim is never really Miyayish from it, because the Bailim is not Misyayish from the value of that which was stolen, because even though he was Misyayish from the Guf HaChefetz, because it's lost, it's gone, he's never Miyayish from the value of the Chefetz. So by Karka, where it's staying in one place, so it's an Anan Sahadi, that he's not even Miyayish from the Guf of the item. Meaning when you steal an item from me, okay, I may never see you stole my jacket or something, I may never see the jacket again, but I'm not giving up hope on getting paid back, meaning someday we're going to bring you to court, you're going to have to face justice and you have to pay me back. The item may be long gone, but the money I'm going to still get. When it comes to Karka, I never give up on the Karka. The Karka's sitting right there, so I'll always, every time I drive down that block, I'll think, oh, one day I'm going to get back that land that belongs to me. So that's the fundamental difference, obviously, between Karka and the other items. So now the Gemara challenges this advice that Rav Huna gave to the Avankri on three levels. Number one, says the Gemara, sov, even if the Avankri themselves, the Mochre Hadassim themselves, were to cut the Hadassim from the fields, it would still be Yeyush Vishina Rishus. It's true that when the Avankri have it, only then does the Yeyush happen, and the Shina Rishus hasn't happened yet, but then they're going to sell it to all the Jewish people who go to buy Dalad Minim. And when they sell it to all the people who go to buy Dalad Minim, when they sell it to me and I buy it, so now there is a Shina Rishus, because it went from their hands to my hands. Yeah, but even the lulav salesman has to take lulav himself also. So he doesn't buy at someone else's store. He's going to just keep whatever schayra he has that he chooses for himself. So enochinami, for the rest of Klal Yisrael who goes and buys from the salesman, it will be fine. It will be yeish v'shinarishus. But for the avankri gufayu, for the avankri themselves, it's not going to help. They're still going to need a. They're still going to need a lulav, so that's where they need the goyim who they're getting it from to do the cutting from the ground. So it's more a second challenge. Why aren't they koneh with the shina maisa? Forget about shina rishus. They're changing the whole cheftza because it's a hadas, and now they're binding it together with a lulav and with a revos. So it's a whole shina maisa. So isn't that a kinyan? You don't need shina rishus if you have shina maisa. So says Mar Kasabra lulav ein sarachegen. We're assuming that lulav ein sarachegen. If you assume lulav ein sarachegen, there is no shina maisa. Remember we had the discussion back on Daf Yud Aleph about lulav tzarech eged or lulav ein tzarech eged. We spoke about if you have a lulav that's all bound together already and the hadasim has berries on it, so can you cut off the berries? Because if you hold lulav tzarech eged, so then lulav requires an asiyah. You have to make the lulav, and now it's going to be tasav lo menasa. If you're finan lulav misukah, so it requires an asiyah. So now it's not going to be a violation of tasav lo menasa if you cut those berries off. But that's only if you hold lulav tzarech eged. If you hold lulav ein tzarech eged, so there's nothing wrong with cutting the berries off. But that's what the Gemara said on the bottom of the Aleph and Beis. The Gemara said, well, wait a second, who would ever hold? We had such a tradition that someone held that tzarech eged, but you're yotze even without the eged. Well, which is it? Meaning if it's tzarech eged, then you really need, then you know you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah at all without it. And if it's ein tzarech eged, then what do you mean that you should mitzvah la'ogdo, that you should bind it? So the Gemara says a third possibility, that really ein tzarech eged, that it doesn't need binding meikra din, but zekeli van vei. It's the most beautiful way to do it, is to make it bigger. But if ein tzarech eged assumes that it's not a shinui maisa in the chafetz shel mitzvah, because you can use it without binding it together. Vim tim tzulomer lulav tzarech eged shinui chazal b'riyasehu. And even if you have lulav tzarech eged, is that really a shinui maisa? When you bind your lulav together, it can very easily be taken apart. V'shinui chazal b'riyasehu lo shmei shinui. Any shinui that can easily be taken apart is not considered a real shinui. So since it's a shinui chazal b'riyaso, it's not considered a legitimate shinui. Now the Marsham as a tshuva, he was asked about a kehila that had to build the Beis HaKnesses, a new shul, and they wanted to take building materials from an old Beis HaMerchatz that they haven't used in many years, and use those building materials for the building of the shul. But there were choshesh, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, in Aruch Chaim, and the Ramah, in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin, that mi'ilim that you use for hedyot, you're not supposed to use as a mi'il for a Sefer Torah, and by all Tashmishei Kedusha, you should make new Tashmishei Kedusha. You shouldn't take old items that were used for hedyot, that were used for other purposes, and decide instead to use them for Tashmishei Kedusha. You shouldn't retrofit them for Tashmishei Kedusha. So they had this issue whether you're allowed to do this. So the Marsham suggested that to allow using it even without a shinui maisa, based on what Tosfos writes in Masechet Shabbos, when it comes to tumah, that pokeah from the kli when you do a shinui maisa, that the isra ana is chal on the kli is considered a shinui maisa as well. I mean, Tosfos says that even if you don't do an actual physical shinui maisa, if an isra ana is chal on something, that's also called a shinui maisa. So that's what the Marsham says. And what would qualify as an isra ana? If you have something that's designated as a chafetz shel mitzvah, maybe that's enough to make it asr bahana to use for other purposes, and therefore that in itself would be considered a shinui maisa. Problem is, our Gemara seems not that way, right? Our Gemara seems that you need a physical shinui maisa on the lulav. The fact that you designated it for a mitzvah is not enough of a shinui maisa to say that qualifies. It needs to be an actual physical shinui maisa. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that even if you hold lulav tzarich again, it's not a shinui maisa, because it's a shinui hachozu lebriyaso. So says Gemara, a third and final question on this advice that Rav Huna gave to the Avankri. Okay, forget about the shinui maisa. What about shinui Hashem? Can't you be kona it with shinui Hashem? Dimei kara havle asa. Vahasha Hoshana. It used to be called just a Hadas, and now it's a Hoshana. That's what they would call. They would call the Hoshana, not just the bundles of Aravos that they would use on Hoshana Rabbah, but the Lulav and Hadas and Aravos all together. That was called a Hoshana. So says Gemara, May Karanami La'as Hoshana Karale. No, because people call even just Hadasin, they'll refer to it as a Hoshana, and therefore it's not a, that's not a good enough reason. Tosus points out that even though you're kind of yeish and there's no mitzvah babavera in your bracha, you shouldn't be masker shem shemayim alav. Meaning, if you were to have something that you were kona with a yeish bailim and a shina rishus, so it's a stolen item, but don't worry, it's not your problem anymore. So Tosus says you still can't say bracha on it. And the Achronim raised the question: what do you mean by the avankri? The Gemara says that if you're kona b'shina rishus or b'shina Hashem, you could be yotzei l'chora. They were all saying brachas on it, right? They were going to say the whole case was they weren't saying bracha. So Marsha says the Gemara doesn't mean to say that they would be mavarich on the hadas hagazel even though you were kone. It's just that you're yotzei b'chiyuv, meaning ein achinami. They could be yotzei the mitzvah, but you can't say a bracha on such a thing. The Magen Avraham points out that Tosfos is talking about where you're kone b'shuna maisa, but maybe if you're kone b'shuna Hashem, you can say a bracha. Maybe there's a difference between shuna maisa and shuna Hashem. That shuna Hashem is such a change in the item that it's not even considered the same item at all. But anyway, that comment that Tosfos says prompted a lot of discussion in the post. We've had to understand our sugya. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Have a good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Have a good Shabbos. Zayin Gezeunt.